Wade, who was the priest of a private chapel in 1751. That would be kind of an interesting job. A rich guy wants you to run his chapel, so whenever he wants a service, he gets you up, I guess. But anyway, it was translated, of course, from the Latin into 40, and there eventually were 40 different English translations, but really we've come to know it as Old Come All Ye Faithful. And the words that we typically use out of those other 39 translations were made by a Dr. Oakley in 1841, who was born in England in 1802. He became a college professor and served in the Church of England, and eventually he did become a Roman Catholic and a church official. Well, the tune, for many, many years, was thought to be written by a father and son duo, and they weren't sure which one of them was. The elder was a church organist who died in 1792. The son was a well-known choir director. But it appears that they actually just picked up the tune from a guy named the Duke of Leeds, who directed ancient music about the year 1785. And it turns out that he had picked up the music when he had heard the hymn at what's called the Portuguese Chapel. And he assumed it was Portuguese music, and so he called the Portuguese hymn. You know, this is just not as exciting as a backstory as, say, Silent Light or Joy to the World and other things. But the song, O Come All Ye Faithful, is an amazing thing. A call to come and worship the newborn king. And that is exciting, even if how we actually got the song doesn't thrill our souls quite as much as it could. You see, we've got angelic appearances. We have a people gathering to go to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. And I love the song, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold, born the king of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. That is still the call to all people. If you know who Jesus is, you will want to go and praise him. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in our text. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I'm so thankful that we can know and have a Savior who came for us. As we look into the passage in Luke chapter 2 today, would you teach us? Would you instruct us? Would you help us to be like the shepherds who acted, who heard, who listened, and who praised you? And Lord, they did all these things, not because they were important, but because you were. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, our story begins in Luke chapter 2. We'll be in verses 8 through 20. And we read, and there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The shepherds were there doing what shepherds should do. They shouldn't have been sleeping. They probably were talking. They may have been playing a flute. They may have been cooking. But the key thing was they were there watching over the sheep, living among them and taking care of those under their care. It's interesting. Many scholars think they may have been caring for lambs, which eventually would be sacrificed during the Passover. And that would be interesting because, as we know how the story goes, they would potentially, they left the lambs for God, which were sacrificed in order to free them from their sins, and they would go see the Lamb of God, who definitely would save them from their sins. That's a very likely and interesting possibility. But at any rate, their night was to get very interesting. I don't know how many of you ever worked the night shift. I imagine if you did law enforcement, you did, and you had some very exciting moments, maybe some more than you wanted. Well, I worked the night shift many years ago at Portland City Hall, and about the most exciting thing that happened would be on certain nights, I had to watch on the video screen for the garbage truck to come. And when the garbage truck came, I was to get my keys, unlock the front door, lock the door, go out, push a button on a little pole, which would bring up an elevator from the basement up on the sidewalk. You know, that's what they have those metal doors in the sidewalk for. Then I would roll the trash cans on, hit the button, they'd go back down in the basement. I'd go back inside, lock the door, and sit there for the rest of the night until my relief came. That's not exactly exciting, but that's what I would do on the night shift. You know, I have a feeling that sometimes being a shepherd at night was not fun either. Why do I have to stay up and watch the sheep? They don't go anywhere. They're all asleep too. Well, someone's got to. And that would be what typically would happen. You know, my watching for the garbage truck did not change my life. It probably didn't change yours. Wow, you should have heard the story Mike told. But anyway, but what did happen to these shepherds on night shift did change their lives. In fact, it changed everything. Because what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified really means they feared a great fear. Have you ever feared a great fear? Sometimes you're walking through a dark building and someone jumps out and goes, "Wah!" Well, I feared a great fear and made all kinds of funny noises and everything else. I've been walking through the woods when a rattlesnake went between my legs and I jumped 6 feet up and 12 feet back. I feared a great fear. Well, in the words of the 1980s Edgemont Junior High speech Bible translation, dude, they freaked. That's what we would have said, and that's what the shepherd said too, I'm sure. I mean, think about it. You're lying in the grass. It's latest night. Maybe you're trying to catch some Z's, and the whole sky lights up like an atomic bomb blast out of nowhere. And then the glory of a super spiritual being speaks to you. Whoa, that would wake you up. You get that blast of adrenaline, you know, like you're sleeping in the car, and the person you're with puts on the brakes, and you come out, and you're awake then. Yeah. Lila, you've had that whiplash before. So anyway, but think about this. An angel of the Lord only appeared a few times that we have record of. He appeared to Hagar and to Abraham, Moses, Balaam, Israel, the nation, Gideon, Manoah and his wife. And in Zechariah, the Lord pleads with the Lord to have mercy on Jerusalem in the cities of Judah, and eventually he takes the sin away from the priest Joshua. But as a whole, the angel of the Lord only appeared to the really so-called important people, you know, Moses and Abraham and Gideon and all those types. Now, the angel of the Lord's actually appearing to a bunch of literal no-name working-class dirty-collar guys at work. Wouldn't that be cool? You're at Coastal behind the gun counter, and all of a sudden, boom! Whoa, that would get your attention, or wherever you happen to be. But not only is it incredible, the appearance of the angel, but what the angel actually said. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The men are said, you don't have to, they're told, you don't have to be afraid. You're not about to get smitten. I'm sure that would be their first thought. Oh, no, it found out. It's not an it, though, because the angel of the Lord and its personal being. But phew, the angel there is there to give them good news. And what's the good news? The Savior is going to be born. The one they've been waiting for millennia. And the one they'd heard about in Sabbath school all their lives. Well, the shepherds are about to demonstrate a great principle. When God calls, listen up. When God calls, listen up. And we would be wise to imitate them. Every year I used to have to get a physical as a kid. I'd go to the doctor, whether I was sick or not or felt fine. And the doctor would check all these things, whack my knee with a hammer. You know how that goes. And it's kind of cool. I'd love to have one of those. But anyway, among other things, I had to have a hearing test. And Dr. Tambera always said, "Your hearing's fine," but my mother would beg to differ. You see, she thought I showed signs of selective hearing disorder. She would insist that she had clearly articulated in my presence at a reasonable volume, "Take out the trash." But her lips were sealed according to me. But I never missed a single, "Would you like some dessert? How about you?" Well, in the Bible, hearing is not simply perceiving sound like it is in English. When someone hears, it means they're listening and responding, obeying actually. So to hear the word of the Lord isn't to go, "God's talking." It's to go, "Whoa, God's talking. What do you want me to do? Okay, I got it. I understood. Now I will go ahead and take care of that, Lord." You know, I've been listening a lot to the Bible on my phone recently. And I've really enjoyed it. I started in Genesis about 3 weeks ago, and I just finished Leviticus. And it's kind of interesting walking around hearing all about the things to do or not to do. And it's like, well, you know, I'm walking through the church, reading, hearing about mildew. It's like, oh, well, this is kind of, well, that's how it is when you're reading, listen to Leviticus. But, you know, there's times where I have found that, yes, I had the Bible, the audio Bible playing, but it was just noise emanating from this little electronic box in my pocket. There were some times, though, when I was like, wow, this is really amazing. I need to really think about this. But sometimes it was just noise, and I wasn't really listening. It was just washing over my eardrums, which don't work as well as they used to. But if God, when God calls, we listen, we will actually take note, we will heed, and we will actually do something about it. And that's what these shepherds did. They heard and they saw, and then they would, and then they acted. They didn't have selective hearing that night. No, they got the message. You know, another example of someone who actually heard and responded was Matthew. Later on, when the baby Jesus grew up and began his public ministry, he went on to a place and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. Matthew was a tax collector. In the eyes of his Jewish brethren, he was a traitor. He'd cozied himself up to Rome. He was a leech on society. Everyone knew that his job and what he was trying to do was bleed everybody dry of as much money as they could. He was not a good guy, but he had good hearing, because when Jesus showed up and said, "Follow me," he didn't start philosophically waxing back and forth. No, he actually, "Follow me." We read Matthew got up and followed. His ears took in, oh, this Jesus is someone amazing. I should pay attention. He is worth leaving my pile of cash, my secure job, and going after. Matthew, like the shepherds, got up and went. It's interesting. Matthew didn't go to a stable to see the baby Jesus. No, he followed after the grown-up Jesus, but the one who was born in a stable. He heard the word of Jesus, he listened to it, and it changed his life. We're told, Jesus himself told us later on in John, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." The one who knows Jesus will listen to him. Of course, we know we don't just listen, we are to act as well. But whatever your situation, wherever decisions you're wrestling with, listen for the voice of God, and if he calls, listen up. Well, the angels give a very specific, they give evidence of what the child will look like when the shepherds arrive. And they says, "This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." But then things get even more exciting on the night shift. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, we always think they're singing, but it says they're saying, maybe they sang later, I don't know. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom his favor rests." I mean, think about this. We've all been to concerts, or we've heard things, we've heard concerts on CD or however you listen to music, and we go, wow, can you believe the voice that little girl or that group of people had? Or even last week, the teenagers, they were amazing here. It was great. We're like, wow, they're great. But can you imagine hearing the best voices on the planet and a private concert for a bunch of no-name dudes? That's really cool. The most beautiful music probably ever sung on earth, they got to listen to. Wow, what a privilege. Again, if it was a song, I mean, I hope it was. Boy, they heard great voices at the very least. And what a message. The one everyone had been waiting for had come. And the Savior would be for all people who receive his favor. Well, then we find all is calm and all is no longer bright because the angel leaves. Well, God called these men and they listened up. Well, what will they do next? We read in verses 2, 15 to 16. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. That's interesting. The shepherds weren't told by the angel, "Go now. You better hurry up or you'll grow up or go or head back to Nazareth or whatever else." No, what they're told is, "You will find the child." The implication is, guys, you're going to leave your stuff here and actually go find them. But And so instead of waiting till daybreak or until the relief comes, what do? They saddle up and head out. You ever watch the old Western movies? Okay, boys, let's saddle up. You know, that means you hop on your horse and you go get the bad guys or you chase the cows down. I know sometimes when I backpacked with the Trail Life boys and they want to sit and take a real long break. No, you've had enough to eat. You've got your bug juice on. It's time to saddle up and be gone. Saddle up basically means let's get moving. And why? Because God had something good for those shepherds to see. It would have been one thing just to see an angel show and then go, oh, wow, that's interesting. But no, they were to go and find that baby. And when they found him, that would truly change them. And what they did is when they left, when they saddled up to go, they found things exactly like the angel foretold. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who of all things was lying in the manger, just like the angel had said. There's another person in the New Testament who is faced with the saddle up decision. Will they act upon what they'd been told? And that's a disciple named Ananias. He was living in Damascus. At the same time, the Apostle Paul was, or this guy named Saul, he wasn't quite Apostle Paul yet. This guy named Saul was on his way. He'd received permission and authority from the chief priest to arrest any and all believers. And so the implication is Ananias would have been one of his targets. Well, the Lord called Ananias and said, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered, which is a good thing to say when God calls. The Lord said, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Well, a few verses later, we read, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Well, Ananias was listening. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Drop what he was doing and go find this Saul guy. But Ananias, in between going and hearing he should go, has a little conversation with God where he says, God, I know what this guy is like. He's a bad dude, not in the good bad sense, in the bad sense. And he's here to arrest people. He's been known to kill people. I really don't want anything to do with this guy. And God said, Ananias, go. And so thankfully, Ananias had enough sense to listen, and he did go. You see, the word had gotten round about Saul at the stoning of Stephen sometime earlier. The people who were chucking rocks had laid their clothes at Saul's feet. And Saul's a young, gung-ho religious leader. I'm guessing was like, oh, yeah, pull him here. I'll protect him. This is great. Carry on. Get bigger rocks. Throw harder, you know, right on target. He was kind of encouraging the whole process, which was not a good thing. And so no wonder Ananias is a little nervous. I guess it'd probably be like, you know, there's a cell of ISIS people hiding in the back of Shady Cove Market. Why don't you guys go and talk to them? Oh, I'm not so sure. Well, maybe you would, but anyway, that would be, no, that's another story. Got to remember my audience. Ooh, sounds good to me. But anyway, if we listen up and if we saddle up, God can do great things. Well, what happened when they found the baby and their parents? What'd they do? Well, we don't read that they helped out with the first holy diaper change. Nor did they sit around and just stare. You know, a bunch of guys don't know what to do with the baby, so they just kind of, you ever seen that? That's funny. Anyway, they didn't offer to help burp the baby. They didn't lend a hand with hauling water. No, they came, they saw, then they went and they talked, which they were good at. We read in verse 17, when they'd see him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Notice, everybody they told was kind of stupefied. I'm sure they said, oh, you should have been there. It was an angel of the Lord and then the host of heavens. And they had this great message for us. And then they said, we're going to find this baby. And sure enough, we found this baby. But on the other hand, shepherds, probably being shepherds, were probably known for playing loose with the truth sometimes. And, you know, they were probably viewed as your typical line, redneck, livestock, wrestling riffraff. And so why would you listen to this incredible story? Of all people, the angel of the Lord appearing to you? I don't think so. I mean, think about it. Their tale probably would have been greeted with some skepticism. I can imagine some of the townspeople saying, yeah, and last time I saw you, you told us how Ernie single-handedly fought off a bear with a banana peel and bubblegum wrapper. Yeah, right. You know, but nevertheless, there seemed to be something different about these guys. They evidently weren't fooling, and there was something in their demeanor and how they looked and everything else where people actually believed them. Emmanuel did arrive. And the shepherds didn't just hurry and see what had happened. No, they began to speak up to everybody. God called, they listened up, they saddled up, and they chose to speak up. You know, when they got back to the fields, I'm sure they had a lot to talk about after they talked to everyone in town. They didn't talk to people slow like in the Westerns. Did you see what I saw? Yep. Kind of interesting. Uh-huh. No, I have a feeling they're like, oh my, the angel was huge and bright and the sky was wow and the message and the baby's cues of Bug's ear and there he was and wow, we got to talk to everybody, you know. You know when someone's excited the way when they raise their voice and they talk fast versus, oh, interesting. There was a difference in how these guys approached things. As far as we know, the shepherds stayed shepherds, though. They didn't start going around giving TED Talks or they didn't enroll in speech classes at Bethlehem Community College. They still lived at the bottom of the food chain, but they did tell a lot of people. In a sense, they became evangelists. An evangelist is one who tells the good news. And that's what they'd done. And that's what we're to do when we encounter the risen Lord, to speak up like they did. Just like Steve and like so many others throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament and since then. And thankfully, somebody told us. You know, I hope that a bunch of the townspeople, after they heard the shepherds tell the tale, tell the story, tell the account, actually, of the baby Jesus, I hope the townspeople came. Mary might not have appreciated it. It's like, listen, I just gave birth. I'm tired. I've been up all night. I've got chores to do. And people keep coming. But I hope they did. If they did, they could have been changed too. If they didn't, they would have missed out mightily. And especially, what else are you going to do in a little sleepy town? There's nothing on TV. There's no TV. There's nothing that ever goes on. So that would have been exciting. But you know, even though people aren't out seeking Jesus sometimes, Jesus is always seeking them. After all, that's why God sent a Savior from heaven. We weren't going to get up there, go seeking him. And all of us, we've gone astray like sheep. Our hearts go their own way. But God said, I want people to know me. And so I'm going to take that step to go find them. And that's the beauty of Christmas. God loved the world. He sent his son to be the Savior of the world. Well, after all that excitement, it was time to get to work. We read in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know what's interesting, though? They'd been talking to people. They'd been spreading the word, but they didn't stop talking when they got back to their jobs. No, they began to glorify and praise God. They were speaking up to him. In a sense, you could say they were singing up or they were singing out at the very least. They praise God in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. We're told to praise God at night too. We're told to praise God when you get up, when you get stuck, when you fall in the muck, when you fall down, when you lie down. Psalm 34 tells us, I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to rejoice always. You know, there's somebody else in this story who rejoiced as well. If we back up to verse 19, there's Mary. We read, but she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was thinking through all this stuff. But you know what's interesting? She wasn't speaking at that moment, but a few months earlier, after the angel had appeared to her and the Holy Spirit had come upon her, she had went and sought out her cousin Elizabeth. And she said, oh my goodness, this is what's happened to me. And then she sang a song of praise to God. So she sang out just like the shepherds did as well. You know, last week we talked about Simeon and how he was a great example of seeking God. He was the old man at the temple who was waiting for the Messiah and he had the opportunity to see him before he died. But even then, though he was a great example, someone for us to follow, the main focus again was not on the old guy, it was on the young babe. the God-man Jesus, born in human flesh. Well, the shepherds are good examples for us too of how to respond when God calls. That's to listen up, to saddle up, to speak up, to sing out. But again, the point of the story of the shepherds is not necessarily the shepherds. It's about the Savior that was born. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So people of God, on whom his favor has rested because of the work of Jesus, let's come, let us adore him. Lord, thank you. You've given us this wonderful message of how you appeared to folks just like us who needed a Savior. And the Savior was for us. And it was for them as well. And what a difference it makes when we come into the have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We've been able to gather and worship you this day. Sure, we've had a few distractions and a sound and light show, but we give you thanks because you are always the main event. In your name I pray, amen.